It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Quote of the day is from Milton Friedman, and he was born in 1912. He died in 2006, and he was an American economist and statistician who received the 1976 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences for his research on consumption analysis, monetary history and theory, and the complexity of stabilization policy. With George Stigler, Friedman was among the intellectual leaders of the Chicago School of Economics, and he was a neoclassical school of economic thought associated with the work of the faculty at that time at the University of Chicago. They rejected Keynesianism in favor of monetarism until the mid-70s when it turned to new classical macroeconomics theory. And he said this: if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years, there would be a shortage of sand. And you can take that to one of the headlines that I pulled here. And it was, the USDA chief admits mistakes, it's in air quotes, as food shortages hit tribal populations, low-income seniors. And that is from Politico. And that is why we don't want the government in charge of our lives, because when the government gets involved, the price goes up. Can we say government-induced inflation? The quality goes down. Can you say government cheese? And the supply becomes limited. So again, Milton Friedman said, if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert in 5 years, there would be a shortage of sand. Normally on Fridays, I pull a quote from the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values, which I would highly recommend that you make sure that you get that and you have that at home in your Freedom Library. Having books is really a good thing, books that you can actually sit down and read, and we all need to make sure that we have those. But as I was going through this day in history, there were two things that I found quite interesting. The first one was in, let's see here, let me get over here to this. I've neglected to uncover this one thing here, so hang with me on this. And that is, in 1146, European leaders outlaw the crossbow, intending to end war for all time. So this is nothing new, with government trying to prevent everyday people from having something, a firearm or a crossbow, to protect themselves against bad guys. And also to be able to use a crossbow to get their food. And so I thought, that's really interesting. 1146, European leaders outlaw the crossbow, intending to end war for all time. But what I really wanted to share with you on this other this day in history. And this was the Battle of Long Island. And I'm sure most of you know about this, but when I first heard about this story, it really gave me hope. And the good Lord was with America at our founding, and he is with us now. And I hope that this will give you a lot of hope as you listen to this story. And it's the Battle of Long Island. It says, after the British evacuated Boston, I'm reading this from MountVernon.org. It says, after the British evacuated Boston on March 17, 1776, General Washington guessed correctly that their next target would be New York. By mid-April, Washington had marched his 19,000 soldiers to Lower Manhattan. He strengthened the batteries that guarded the harbor and constructed forts in northern Manhattan and on Brooklyn Heights across the East River on Long Island. Washington waited throughout June for the British to appear, hoping that somehow his undisciplined troops could hold off an attack, which he was certain would come in Manhattan. In early July, 400 British ships with 32,000 men, commanded by General William Howe, arrived at Staten Island. When Howe offered a pardon to the rebels, Washington answered, "Those who have committed no fault want no pardon." While he was still convinced that the British would attack Manhattan, he sent more troops to Brooklyn. Let's see here. Hold on. And these pop-ups are a difficult thing. So it goes on to say, this is unfortunate because, hold on here, they've got a pop-up here. Darn. Anyway, it says that he stationed George John Sullivan to the south and Lord Stirling, this was Howe, to the southwest on the heights of Guam. And he posted guards along the main roads leading through the heights, but failed to secure the rarely used Jamaica Pass to the east. This proved to be a costly mistake since General Howe planned to lead 10,000 men through the pass on the evening of August 26 and attack the Americans on Brooklyn Heights from the rear. At the same time, General Leopold Philip von Heister would launch his Hessians against Sullivan's troops. So it was Sullivan was a colonist. It says, at the same time, General Leopold Philip von Heister would launch his Hessians against Sullivan's troops, while the redcoats of General James Grant would attack Stirling's position. Early on the morning of August 27, British soldiers fired on American pickets stationed near the Red Lion Tavern at the crossroads in Brooklyn. Washington hurried across the East River from Manhattan, but could do little more than observe the fight from a redoubt on Cobble Hill. Sullivan's men fought bravely, but when cut down by Hessian artillery and bayonets, and when he realized that the main British force had come through the Jamaica Pass and would soon surround him, Sullivan ordered his men to retreat to Brooklyn Heights before he himself was captured. General Stirling held off the British for several hours, but retreated when he also realized that he would be surrounded. He led 400 Maryland soldiers in a desperate fight at the Old Stone House, giving his soldiers time to flee before he was taken prisoner. Washington, who looked down on the terrible scene, could only remark, "Good God, what brave fellows I must lose." General Howe halted the fighting by early afternoon and directed his men to dig trenches around the American position on the next day. Before they could be surrounded, Washington ordered his men to evacuate Long Island. From late in the evening on August 29 to dawn on the following morning, Washington watched as 9,000 Continentals were rowed back to Manhattan. As the sun came up, a fog miraculously descended on the remaining men crossing the river, according to eyewitnesses, and George Washington was the last man to leave Brooklyn. So what had happened then is a fog appeared, and it was so dense that the stories are you could hardly see your hand in front of your face. And it was because of this fog that miraculously appeared that Washington and his troops were able to evacuate Brooklyn. And it has been known as a God-given, divine provider fog. And if that had not occurred, Washington probably would have been captured as well, and the revolution would have been over. And so just think about this. This was happening all these years ago at this time. And I think that we have to take hope from that way back then to what we are facing today in our country. And we are under attack, but really because of such terrible policy. And we'll be talking with Danielle Jurinski, Aurora City Councilwoman. All of us have seen this video that is just bone-chilling of these Venezuelan gangs that have taken over apartment complexes in Aurora. And the response by the governor and by the Denver mayor is unbelievable. So KDVR, reports this. It says, as more and more videos begin to surface showing alleged gang violence at Aurora apartment complexes, it's putting people across Denver in high alert, the Denver metro area. And so Fox 31 spoke to Denver Mayor Mike Johnston about how city leaders are ready to address those issues. Johnston said the Denver Police Department has already been working with federal, state, and other local agencies because they have been made aware of the problem early on. He said while there has been no evidence of Denver apartments being taken over by a Venezuelan gang, they are providing a heavier police presence in areas that have risks. It's infuriating, Johnston said. It should never happen in this state. It should never happen in Denver, in any population. He says, you're going to have a small number of folks who come to break the rules and break the law, and we have zero tolerance for that. So we will hold them accountable. Right. He was the one with the welcome sanctuary policies. And of course, the governor looked the other way on all that. And as I said, we'll talk with Danielle here in just a moment. But Democrat governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, dismissed outrage over a video showing what appears to be armed Venezuelan gang members in an apartment building as imagination, despite significant evidence. I think this is going to be the undoing of Jared Polis. I've had people from all over the country that have seen these videos and said, what is going on? And I said, it is absolutely terrible here. And so we will continue to have this discussion about this with Danielle Jurinski. But I wanted to say thank you to Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show, because it is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from oil, natural gas, and coal that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. These energy sources are under regulatory, legislative, cultural, media attack. And we need to make sure that we understand what's going on. Highly recommend that you check out the documentary, A Climate Conversation. And we've started a new podcast series as well. And those podcasts are just about an hour, each of them, with great guests, scientists, experts in the field, and would highly recommend that you check that out. And there is a lot that will keep
so
us
I
up
switched
at night.
My insurance to there the Roger Mannion State Farm Insurance Agency.
Okay.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mannion State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mannion, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mannion now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mannion State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday!
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. It is, we're having a few little technical difficulties here, so hang with us. And we hope to get Danielle Jurinski on the line here in just a moment. She is Aurora City Councilwoman. And what has happened is somehow producer Joe can't get up to the station, so we are running this a little bit by the seat of our pants. And so I need to let me text our person who is running this. So here we go. And let me make sure, let me just hang with me, everybody, because I need to get some information here to my colleague Amanda. Thank you, who is stepping forward to make all this happen. And let me get this over here to her. Because I really want to talk with Danielle Jurinski as regarding what's happening in Aurora City Council. So hang with me and let me get this information over to her. Tell you what, you guys, live radio sometimes can just really get us crazy. So hang with me, and I'm going to get this over to Amanda, And here we go. And then hopefully this is going to happen here. So, and again, live radio can. This is actually a new one for us, my friends. So here we go. And hopefully I'll just keep my ears on, and I'll continue to talk about some of the things that's happening here in our world. And the next thing that I'd like to mention is apparently Kamala Harris and actually had a CNN interview. And CNN reports this. It says, Harris explains in her exclusive CNN interview why she has shifted her position on key issues since her first run for president. And she offered her most expansive explanation to date on why she's changed some of her positions on fracking and immigration, telling CNN's Dana Bash her values haven't shifted, but that her time as vice president provided new perspective on some of the country's most pressing issues. It says in the CNN exclusive sit-down interview, Harris also said she would name a Republican to serve in her cabinet if elected. I would wonder what those values are of that particular Republican. She described for the first time President Joe Biden's telephone call informing her that he was planning to abandon his bid for a second term after his disastrous debate performance. She stopped short of saying she would alter Biden's policy toward arms sales to Israel. First of all, I have a feeling that whoever is running the government right now with Kamala Harris, that they certainly knew that he was going to be abandoning his second term before he called her. And with these pictures of Joe Biden on the beach, we all have to wonder who is running our country at this time. And this goes on to say, it says, and she brushed off her rival's questioning of her racial identity, dismissing Donald Trump's suggestion that she happened to turn black. And she said, same old tired playbook. Next question, please. Her mother was Indian and her father was Jamaican. That is a fact. Goes on, in all the joint interview in Savannah with her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, their first since becoming the Democrat presidential ticket, provided one of the clearest looks into Harris's positions and her plans for the presidency. Asked to describe her day one objectives should she win, Harris did not list any specific steps like signing executive or actions or orders. Instead, she reiterated her focus on strengthening the economy. She said, first and foremost, one of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class. Well, actually, it's their policies that have been decimating the middle class. The Inflation Reduction Act actually increased inflation significantly. And in doing so, it really has hurt the middle class. It's hurt those that are trying to move up the economic ladder. And it's so frustrating that what they're trying to do is make people dependent on government. But then you go back to the quote by Milton Friedman, if you put government in charge of the Sahara Desert within 5 years, you'll have no sand. And so people are going to really hurt under where we're headed. And it's Marxist policies. She says that but she's saying the things that people want to hear. And people do want to hear that we want to have a big, broad middle class, but they have done everything they can through these government policies to decimate the middle class, to try to get more power, more money, more control over to the elites, the PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. Meanwhile, it is decimating everyday people's lives. And so we need to understand that what she's saying is two things. The other thing I noticed that I thought was so interesting in this headline was it says Harris explains in an exclusive CNN interview why she's, and I love the word shifted. I think they should use the real term flip-flopped. And the reason she's flip-flopping is the people don't want what she's selling. And if she is elected, what she is saying to people is going to be opposite for what's really going to happen. And then this one other thing it says, it goes on to say here that In the post-convention phase of the race, Harris is seeking to address scrutiny of her record and add substance to her pitch to American voters on how she would govern if elected president. And she's been under pressure to explain her policy positions, which you go to her website, there's nothing there in greater detail. And pressed by Bash, the reporter, on her reversals on fracking and decriminalizing illegal border crossings, Harris talked to explain why her positions had changed. Bash asked Harris this: how should voters look at some of the changes you've made? Is it? And then I love the way Bash is actually trying to feed her some answers. Bash says, is it because you have more experience now and you've learned more about the information? Is it because you were running for president in a Democrat primary? And should they feel comfortable and confident that what you're saying now is going to be your policy moving forward? The last question that she should probably have asked is, what is your favorite ice cream? Because these are such softball answers, I can't even believe it. But Harris said, despite her shifts in position, her values had not changed. I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed. You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. And again, what I'm learning is the Green New Deal is the green that is going in PBI's pockets. The next headline that that I wanted to mention was, this is from Politico again, and I've decided that I do want to check the other side. Politico typically is quite left-leaning, and so I want to make sure that I check what they are saying as well. And let's see. I think the next thing I'll go to, this is Politico, and this is President Trump says he opposes the 6-week abortion ban adopted by his home state of Florida. And he said he doesn't support it. And it's been put in place by Governor Ron DeSantis in the former president's adopted home state. But that and he says he's not going to vote for it, but he says that doesn't mean he would overturn it. Trump said in a TV interview Thursday that 6 weeks is too restrictive, and he appeared to signal that he supports a November ballot initiative in the state that would overturn the ban imposed last year by DeSantis and Florida Republicans. Then his campaign issued a statement walking it back. They said President Trump has not said yet how he will vote on the ballot initiative in Florida. He simply reiterated that he believes 6 weeks is too short. So Trump, in a brief interview with NBC News, said he didn't agree with the 6-week ban adopted in Florida, and he says he thinks it's too short. He said there has to be more time. And abortion is certainly the issue that the Democrats really will be talking the most about. I think it is correct. I think the Supreme Court decision to push this back to the states where that decision is the states to make that, because at least we've got 50 different states then where we can fight for life on this. And we really need to work, I think, on a cultural standpoint, because really, I think, unbeknownst to us, our kids are being programmed at very early ages to be in support of abortion. And not only girls, but also boys. And girls have been told that if you have an unplanned pregnancy, that your hopes and dreams are over. And we've not really upheld how important children are and how valuable they are. When I go into my computer and I'm on, have Microsoft products, you never see, a family, a mom, a dad, kids, or pictures of little children. You never see that, upholding that. You may see animals. You may see seascapes. You may see landscapes, you know, of other areas. But you never see these things that are really upholding humankind. And I think that is certainly a real problem on that. And again, we need to make the case for life. And I think we need to make that case in our culture. And I am glad, though, that if we had a nationwide abortion ban, We might also have a nationwide abortion law, such as we have here in Colorado, where you can actually abort a baby right up until the time they are born. And so we've got to fight this out at the states, and we need to uphold life. And so abortion is going to be certainly the big issue for the Democrat side. So we're going to go to break here in just a moment. But I did want to mention several of our sponsors. Hooters Restaurants has been a great sponsor of the show for many years. And they have five locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And a great place to get together for lunch. They have happy hour specials. And, of course, we're in football season, so great place to get together to watch all the games. I also had mentioned the Medal of Honor quote book from the Center for American Values. And check out their website. They have all kinds of things going on down there. They have their On Values series as far as also their educational programs and, of course, the Portraits of Valor of our Medal of Honor recipients. And so be sure and check that out. That is AmericanValueCenter.org, AmericanValueCenter.org. And we will be right back.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday, I'm free. The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it is a Rick Turnquist Friday. Rick Turnquist, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim, and thank you.
Great to have you, and you've written another excellent essay that is on the website, and I know Zach's going to get it on Facebook as well. And it's Democrats Are the Threat to Democracy. And a great image, again, Zach has Joe Biden smiling in the background. Otherwise, he has other Democrats that are certainly a threat to our democracy. We've got that in air quotes. So where do you want to start with this, Rick Turnquist?
Who's the one on the right? Is that Jason Crow?
I think that's Ed Smith. It's the attorney that's been going after Trump. I can't remember now.
Jack Smith?
Yes, okay. Jack Smith. That's who it is. Smith. Yeah.
Well, it's a great graphic. I mean, let's see. We have the American flag burning up in the background. We have these horrible Democrats, and I didn't recognize the one guy, but the vice president and her terrible running mate, and then the way Joe Biden is overshadowed in the background is really perfect. So so it's been an interesting few months here this summer in America. And Kim, I've been alive since the late part of the Eisenhower presidency, and I don't remember JFK too much. I remember, my mom crying when he was assassinated, but I do remember every president since Lyndon B. Johnson and the Vietnam War in the 70s and all that stuff. So I've been around for a while, and I'll tell you, I really feel that that this is a very pivotal and a very dangerous point in American history that we're living through right now. And a lot of people are kind of oblivious to it. But when Democrats whine about threats to democracy, I think it's really important for everybody to just take a step back and recognize that the Democrat Party themselves are the true threat to democracy. And that's what compelled me to write this piece. And I actually thought of the idea several weeks ago and kind of fleshed it out and put it together in this essay. And I could have gone on. I try to keep to a certain word limit, but sometimes I run over, and this could have been a whole book, because there's just so many ways in which Democrats undermine the ideas and the ideals of a constitutional republic.
Well, and this has been a long time in coming, because I remember, Rick Turnquist, when I was on city council, I was down at a meeting at the Colorado Municipal League, and there was a guy who was, it might not have been at the building. I think it might have been actually at a retreat. I can't remember exactly now. But there was a guy that was pushing municipal broadband, and attorney, smart guy, and he referred to America as a democracy. And this would have been at least 10 years ago. And I was thinking, doesn't he know that we're a constitutional republic? So this whole thing regarding democracy has been in the hopper for quite a while with Democrats.
Yeah, and democracy is really one of those words that is overused and misused. And that's why I started off this piece talking about how it's kind of adorable how leftists use words like science and democracy as invocations or shields for their ideas, for what they think is right, without the slightest understanding of what those words really mean. So a true democracy, as they practiced in ancient Greece, is where every citizen votes on important matters, and whatever the citizens decide by a simple majority is what happens. And so there's lots of analogies to it, but the one that makes the most sense is where two wolves and a sheep vote on what's for dinner. Mm-hmm. And I think the sheep's going to come up on the short end of that vote. We can see that with what's happening in Colorado, what's happening in several other states, and what they're trying to do with the country as a whole is simple majorities will determine what policy is going to be, regardless of morality, regardless of economic sense, regardless of right and wrong, regardless of which minority is going to be persecuted. And it's just egregious. And our founders created a system of government that includes checks and balances, and is a constitutional republic, which is not a true democracy. A constitutional republic is basically a system of government. I hate to have to say this; it should be taught in every school, but where we elect representatives who are going to represent us in the organs of government. So we at the local level, we elect people like you to city council who are going to administer our cities. We elect county commissioners to run our counties. We elect state representatives and senators to run our state legislature. We elect a governor to administer the state. And by the way, my governor just bragged on Twitter in the last couple of days about how in Oklahoma we don't have a sales tax on groceries anymore. So that's a real benefit to living in a state that's governed by Republicans.
Well, absolutely.
Raising taxes, we lower taxes. Anyway,
lowering taxes. So, Rick, so, hey, one of our listeners, and she makes this point. She says we need to stop using the term democracy. And as I've always say, words are so important. And the left has hijacked the term. A true democracy turns to tyranny 100% of the time. And we're a constitutional republic, and we need to remind people all the time. And so when people say democracy now, I always say constitutional republic. So thank you, Holly, for that. She's right. Words are so important, and the left knows it.
And she, they're masters at manipulating language, and she's exactly 111% right. And that's why whenever I hear the word democracy, I roll my eyes, because it is a constitutional republic. It was designed to be, and the Democrats are doing the best they can to turn it into a true democracy simple majority rule. And that's why one of the things they want to do is eliminate the filibuster in the United States Senate. But they only like democracy when the results go their way, and when they don't like the results, they will resort to other means to implement their agenda. And nowhere is this more evident than what happened this summer when we saw the first coup in American history. And I was never a fan of Joe Biden. And I remember 4 years ago when he was supposedly running as a moderate, and then he was put in office, and he's been a disaster ever since. And people professed surprise about that, and I wasn't surprised. The only surprise I had was how bad things got and how quickly they got so bad under Joe Biden. And then people profess surprise about his mental deficiencies due to age, and he was never the brightest bulb in the chandelier anyway. And people were surprised about that, and I wasn't surprised. It was clear to anybody who listened to any word that came out of the guy's mouth that he didn't have it. And so when he debated Donald Trump at his own instigation, let's recall that his campaign was floundering, and he thought that might be a way to revise his hopes. And he bombed horribly. It was the worst debate performance ever. The Democrats started to panic because they realized that if Biden continued as their nominee, he would lose the race. And let's face it, Biden's not competent to run the government. So I think that people have voiced the question, who's running the government? And it's not Joe Biden. It's his handlers and the Obama, probably Clinton cabal that are running things into the Democratic Party in a completely anti-democratic fashion.
Well, and this coup, as you've said, we've never had this happen before in our country. And so Kamala Harris is the Democrat nominee for president, and she did not receive any votes to be the nominee. This is certainly very undemocratic on the part of the Democrats.
It's very undemocratic. Let's recap here. Kamala Harris got her start in public life by sleeping with a married older man who put her in her first public positions that paid very well. And then she leveraged that into becoming an attorney general. Then she leveraged that into becoming a United States senator. And then she was picked by Joe Biden as vice president simply because she's supposedly a black woman. And I don't see how a child of a Jamaican and Indian is actually an African-American type person, but she calls herself that, and so they believe that, and that's why. But she was completely a diversity hire. She has no qualifications whatsoever for being president of the United States. And Kim, I have to be honest, I'm completely appalled that this country is actually considering electing such a person as president of the United States. And I guarantee you that if she is elected, it's going to be a disaster. And we can talk more about that later after the break. But it's very anti-democratic what happened. The Democrats started panicking that Joe Biden was going to lose the election. And they can't have that, because all they care about is power and right. Using that power to maintain control of the government and run everything, the government, the economy, your family, your life. And so Joe Biden, after days of mounting pressure, he was in seclusion due to supposed illness. And he supposedly wrote a one-page letter stating that he was dropping out of the race. This letter was then posted on X, and that was it. There's no public appearance for several days, no press conferences, no letters addressed to the Speaker of the House. You know, Kim, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but this is a pretty shaky set of facts. And in fact, I tried to Google the actual letter, and maybe people that are more skilled with Google than I am can find it, but I couldn't find it. So I saw it once when it was first posted on X, but I can't find it now. So so this is the very definition of a soft coup. There was no violence involved. The military wasn't involved, but a handful of powerful Democrat insiders got together and forced Joe to drop out of the race. And whether he actually wrote that letter or not, I don't know. I tend to think that he did not write that letter. It may have even been written without his knowledge. I can't begin to imagine what threats or what bribes or what pressure were brought to bear on Joe and Jill and Hunter to compel Joe to drop out of the race. But he's clearly not happy that he's been forced out. And some commentators say that Kamala was the driving force behind that, but she's a puppet. She doesn't have intellectual or any other kind of strength to do something like that. It was definitely the Democrat Party insiders. And if you'll remember back when Joe first dropped out or was forced out, there was talk about having a convention process where they would select a new nominee through a semi-democratic means of people in a convention voting for who the nominee was going to be. But that didn't happen. They quickly lined up behind Kamala Harris, and now she's the Democrat nominee without ever having won a single vote from anybody for being the Democrat nominee. So if you'd told me 20 years ago that something like that would happen in 2024, I would have said you were full of it. But apparently those are the days we're living in.
Here we are. And text line is very busy. One of our listeners said, I think we should avoid saying running the government. Better to ask who is performing the duties of president. Good point on that. And the other thing I love in this piece, because you and I have talked so much over the years about words and how words matter. And I have I now refer to them not as Democratic, not the Democratic Party, but the Democrat Party. And it is so interesting because we know that all of our technology is all leans to the left. And you know how you can have the little automatic corrections if you're doing a piece, and like I may write a piece, and when I put in Democrat, it always comes up as a spell check that I should put in Democratic. And I know it's a subtle little thing, but changing from calling it to the Democratic Party to the Democrat Party changes things just a little bit, and it's a little subtle take back of the language, and I know that you're doing that as well. And I think it's important that people realize that and use Democrat in their conversations with people also, Rick Turnquist.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think I try to always refer to it as the Democrat Party, not the Democratic Party. But so I said nominee. It's actually a Democrat nominee, so that's a valid.
Oh, okay. I guess I forgot that. But you and I, yeah, and it's easy to fall into that. So, hey, let's go to break. I'm talking with Rick Turnquist, and you will want to check out his piece. It is already published at my website, and it says Democrats are the threat to democracy. And we have all these discussions because of great sponsors. One of those is Lauren Levy.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Monson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It's Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website and do check out the USMC Memorial Foundation website as well. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. They're just doing such great work, and I so support everything that they're doing and really do appreciate them. Rick Turnquist is on the line, and he's got an excellent essay. It's already on the website. Democrats are the threat to democracy. So democracy in action. What should people know about this, Rick Turnquist?
Well, I want to talk about a great example of true democracy, which is in Colorado. You have the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or TABOR. And TABOR was passed by the voters in 1992, and I voted for it, and I never regretted that vote. TABOR requires a vote of the people to allow any government in Colorado to raise taxes or to impose new taxes. And from day one, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties have hated TABOR with the passion of a thousand suns and have done everything they can to chip away at it. And I think it's really interesting because they really believe that they know better how much of your money should be taken from you by force to fund government programs. And not only just funding government programs, but outright taking money from people that have earned it to people that have not earned it, and complete income transfers. And so TABOR is democracy in action, and like I said, Democrats hate it. And they've demonstrated real ingenuity in thinking of ways to circumvent TABOR, like calling things fees, calling taxes fees, calling government programs enterprises, and finally, which is what drove me out of Colorado, creating a family medical leave program by calling the taxes required to fund it premiums. And just another example of this.
It's really lying. You know what? It's really lying. And as you're talking about this, too, whether or not they call it a fee or a tax or a premium, it's money that's being taken out of your pocket. TABOR says if you're going to raise taxes, you have to ask us. But these PBIs have gone through all kinds of gyrations to take money out of your pocket without having to ask you.
Oh, they're very good at it, and they are lying. In my opinion, any money that's taken from a citizen by force, and let's be honest, it's all done by force, because if you don't comply, you go to jail, or if your employer doesn't comply, they get put out of business. It's taken by force, and if it's taken by force, it's a tax. And they can call it whatever they want, but it's a tax, and I've been saying that for years. And you're right, you know, words matter. So in 2020, voters passed Proposition 117, and I know 117 requires voter approval for enterprises and fees. Yet just in the last legislative session, they had proposed bills that would raise taxes and fees that clearly working to circumvent even that. In 2018, a who's who of lefty nonprofits and lefty-owned businesses and progressive, and we should say regressive, because they want to take us back to the dark ages, elected officials supported a ballot initiative called Proposition 112, which would have crippled the oil and gas industry in Colorado. And the voters, many of whom recognize and support the life-giving products that the oil and gas industry brings to us, wisely defeated this measure by 55 to 45. And this was another example of true democracy. And the Democrats, Colorado Democrats, said never mind. And they next year they passed Senate Bill 181, which imposed even harsher restrictions on the oil and gas industry.
Unbelievable. It was only like 3 months later when they did that. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I went to the rallies in favor of defeating Prop 112, and I went to the hearings against Senate Bill 181 and the rallies against it. And it's really clear that they just don't care what the voters say and what the voters want. And another example of that is in they voted to quote John Caldera of the Independence Institute. In 2019, they rejected Prop CC to keep their Tabor refunds, so they just passed more fees after fees. And it's interesting that a Democrat said the quiet part out loud. This is a deep contempt of voters because of Tabor, and they're trying to find a way to get around the fact they have to give $2 billion back to the taxpayers. So it's that probably was an accident, but this, in this case, this Democrat told the truth. And I just saw a tweet from him that his campaign treasurer is sad because he hasn't had any donations recently. And I tweeted back, I hope your campaign treasurer remains sad, because I'm really hoping that we can find a Republican to replace Bob Marshall with a D next to his name.
Well, and so let's continue on. We've got about 5 minutes. The next thing that you talk about is lawfare on this.
So nowhere is this more clear, Kim, than the fact that the Democrats have weaponized the agencies of the federal government against their opponents. And the biggest and most well-known opponent, of course, is Donald Trump, who's been unfairly persecuted by federal law enforcement agencies. And of course, even when he was president, we had the whole Russia collusion thing going on, which was proven to be a bunch of malarkey. But they've prosecuted Donald Trump and actually convicted him in one court on really flimsy charges. I believe that was a state action. But it's really clear that they will use the agencies of government in very evil and immoral ways to persecute their political opponents. Another example of this is the way that the Department of Justice will prosecute people who are pro-life activists. There's one guy who's, I think he got 11 years for peacefully protesting outside of a abortion clinic somewhere in Tennessee, maybe.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unconscionable. And yet these hooligans who loot our cities and burn things down and take over police precincts don't even get a slap on the wrist. So it's really clear that the Democrats are using the agencies of government at the federal and state levels to persecute their opponents and to not enforce just laws. And another example of that is the Venezuelan gangs running amok in Aurora. I mean, the core legitimate function of government is to protect life, liberty, and property. And when government fails to do that, then it's just doesn't even belong. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be fixed. And the fact that these unlawful people are allowed to do what they're doing in an American city just blows my mind that's not allowed. I mean, they should be bringing in the police, the National Guard. Those people should be arrested and deported and not allowed back in the country. So
immediately.
Yeah, and
yes,
Kim, I know I wanted to, and I just didn't have the time, but I really wanted to put together a summary of all the ways that Democrats are exactly wrong on every policy. And if a reader wants, they can go back through your website, because I've written several several essays about how Democrats are exactly wrong on so many things: energy policy, crime, human sexuality, economics. I don't think I wrote about national defense, but it's clear they're wrong on that. And I'm just going to say there's a lot of people I know that love Trump. They're going to vote for him happily. I personally would crawl across broken glass in a tornado to vote for Trump in November. I think Kamala and Tim Walz are just that much of a threat to our country and our way of life that anything is warranted, and in terms of supporting President Trump. And I know a lot of conservatives who have reservations about President Trump and say they're not going to vote for President Trump. And then they go on and say, well, Kamala would be a terrible president. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to vote for Trump? And because it's really a binary choice, and you either affirmatively vote for Donald Trump, or you will be virtually allowing Kamala Harris to win. And as I said to myself in 2016, when I sat down to fill out my ballot for Donald Trump, if I don't personally do everything I can to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House, I'll never forgive myself.
Rick Turnquest, we are out of time. Thank you. You are just really a so valued partner of the show, and I appreciate it. And so we're going to go to hour number two. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. We're going to get right to it. First of all, our word of the day is rational, and that is spelled RATIONAL. It could be having or exercising the ability to reason, logical, sensible, of sound mind, and sane. And we need to become very rational as we are looking at this particular election on, do we want the emotional Marxism of Kamala Harris, or do we want rational economic policies where everyday people can thrive and prosper? Our quote of the day is from Milton Friedman. He was an economist born in 1912, died in 2006. And he said, if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert in 5 years, there would be a shortage of sand. And saw a headline that actually explained that. And this is from Politico. USDA chief admits mistakes as food shortages hit tribal populations and low-income seniors. That's why we do not want the government in charge of our food supply. Let's see. Thank you to Laramie Energy and Kirsch Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from oil, natural gas, and coal that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. So the first hour, we had something new happened. Live radio is always interesting, but the studio is on the 12th floor, and it's quite early. And when we get here, and producer Joe, the elevators were not working properly, and he did not have a key to the stairwell to get up 12 flights of stairs. And so we had a real dilemma. And Amanda, thank you for stepping forward. She was able to step forward and help run the board remotely. So it seemed a little discombobulated to all of you. We wanted to have Danielle Jarinski on, Aurora City Councilwoman, to talk about these Venezuelan gangs. And as we were trying to figure out what was happening, that didn't happen. We hope to get to her at 7:47. if her schedule allows. So we're going to work towards that. Jay Davidson is our featured guest in this hour. Great conversation. It works for him to pre-record that portion of the interview. So we're working on a very compressed timeline on this. And and we want to have Jim May on. He's, as you know, he's a cattleman with Lavaca Meat Company. And so we're trying to make all this work. And I just wanted to let you know we had a lot of moving parts, and we made it happen. It was a little rocky, but we made it happen. So, Jim May, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim, and happy happy Labor Day weekend. We're coming up here. Finally, Friday. It's going to be fun, right?
It is Friday, and I would highly recommend that people get some great steak burger or fillets for grilling on this Labor Day from Lavaca Meat Company.
Boy, it looks like it's going to be a really nice weather weekend here. Yeah, this is when the Cowboys take the straw hats off and start to put the other hats back on. So summer's just kind of coming to an end. But football, tailgaters, all these kinds of things. We've got the Lavaca steak bites, the filet bites, very, very good quality steak on sale down. So, you know, you can take these. They're one of our more inexpensive items, and you can throw them on a barbecue or butter and burritos and nachos, pizza. Come on down and check those out. It's three or four days here to vote for Dan at a Capitol Theater. Cowboy buddies out there, you know, let's get that done. And then I'll give you a cowboy poem here if you're ready for it.
Okay, sounds great. And you were cutting out just a little bit, so make sure you're in a spot with great coverage. And again, those little filet tips are great for kebabs as well. And so those are on sale this weekend at Lavaca Meat Company, which is located at Main and Nevada in Old Littleton. So let's just give me a quick sound on this, Jim, to make sure that we've got great coverage on this. So let's go ahead and get started with your cowboy poem.
Okay, I've only got two or three bars here. I'm sorry about that. Does this sound okay?
That's better, yes.
Okay. Okay, yeah, this is the classic one, and a few people have asked me to do the horse trade because it's, you know, it's just the best, to me, the best cowboy poem that's ever been written. And everybody has their favorites. This is called The Horse Trade. You know, I traded for a horse one time. He'd never win a beauty prize, a great big long-eared blue room gelding. But not too bad for speed or size. I had to work some pretty tough circles. And that trader guaranteed that horse would show me lots of country and not need too much rest or feed. He said, no, this here ain't no kid horse, but he'll pack you up the crick. He will hump up upon occasion, and he has been known to kick. I wouldn't sell him to just anyone without having some remorse, but if you're a sure enough cow puncher, mister, why, he's your kind of horse. Well, I stepped up on that horse the next morning, and he began to buck and fall. That trader, he maybe hadn't lied none, but he hadn't told at all. Because we sure tore up the country when he threw that equine fit, and I almost run out of handholds by the time he finally quit. And that just seemed to set a pattern that would hardly ever change. Though I showed him lots of country, every corner of the range, every time I ride that booger, he'd keep me sit tight. And I knew I'd have to make at least three or four bronc rides before he'd pack me back home that night. And that would have been okay with a lot of the horses that I knowed, but that old blue horse had my number. I just barely get him rode. And the thing that kind of spooked me and put a damper on my pride was he was learning how to buck faster than I was learning how to ride. Well, I got back into camp one evening. It was getting pretty late. I see a gray horse in the corral there, and there's a saddle by the gate. I looked that gray horse over. Man, I sure liked what I seen. And then this little kid shows up around the barn. He must have been about 15. He said he'd lamed his horse that day coming over the granite grade, and he wondered if I might have a horse that I might maybe want to trade. Said he really didn't have time to stop and wait and let him heal, and since beggars can't be choosers, he said he'd make most any kind of deal. Well, and fellers trade horses, they say almost anything is fair. So I traded him my blue roan horse for that gray one then and there. And then that night, my conscience got to hurting when I thought about what I did. I traded an old flea-blown dink bronc like that off to some poor little wet-nosed kid. So the next morning after breakfast, I tells him, listen, lad, if you want to know the truth, that trade you made last night was bad. That old blue horse, he's a rank one. Mean as you'll ever see, and he'll bite you, stomp you, kick you. He's a sorry SOB. And that old horse bucks hard and often. And to tell it to you straight, I think you'd be awful lucky just to ride him past the gate. Now, there's two or three old horses back there in that saddle bunch. They ain't got much going for them, but I kind of got a hunch that they get you where you're going if you just don't crowd them none. But, damn, I hate to see you try to ride that old blue booger, son. He said, well, I told you there last night I'd make most any kind of trade, and I sure appreciate you telling me about the bad mistake I made. But my old daddy always told me when you're trading, no matter how you feel, even if you took a whipping, why, a deal is still a deal. And that horse, you say, he's got some travel, and he ain't too bad for speed. Well, mister, I'm kind of in a tight, and that's just exactly what I need. And I traded for him fair and square, and damn his blue roan hide. When I pull out of here this morning, that's the horse I'm going to ride. Well, we finished cinching up his side. He pulls his hat way down, and he steps right up into the rigging. He was riding into town. Put both spurs up on him shoulders and got that blue roan flying. Tips his head straight back and screams like an angry lion. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about the bucking horse ballet. I've heard about poetry in motion. But the ride I saw that day just completely defied description. Though I still can see it plain, it's almost like it's in slow motion and branded on my brain. Not sure I could even describe it to you, even if I tried. All I can say for sure is by the saints that kid could ride. He just sit there all relaxed like he was sitting home in bed, and every jump that pony took, that kid's a half a jump ahead. When it was over, I decided I could learn a few things still, and I said, son, I'm awful sorry. I misjudged your riding skill. He just said, oh, shucks, miss, that's all right, as he started on his way. But if you think this horse can buck, don't even put your saddle on that gray.
Jim May, that is just great.
Labor Day. I did that one for Labor Day. I hope everybody has a great Labor Day weekend. You know, the football's back. I'm excited. I love the fall. Great time. Next week, I'm going to do my favorite poem about the fall. So we'll see you next time.
That sounds great, Jim May. And again, Lavaca Meat Company at Nevada and Maine in Old Littleton. Be sure and check that out. And they've got specials on those fillet tips. And we'll be right back.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mannion State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this, I actually talked to Roger Mannion, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mannion now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mannion State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Maine and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N, .com.
It's Friday! Yeah!
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show as well. Another great sponsor of the show is Jay Davidson and First American State Bank. He's on the line. He is a fan favorite. Jay Davidson, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Kim. Pleasure to be here.
Well, there's so much going on out there, Jay Davidson. And you had posted a piece regarding that the, I'm calling it the Obidenomala economy has left most Americans behind. And I think Americans are figuring that out. So address that.
Whoa, that's a big question. I'm going to have to go way back and talk theory a little bit, if you don't mind, and then we'll develop it up into what's happening today.
Yes.
But the bottom line is that there's the private sector, which is you and me and every other working tax-paying citizen out there, working in the private sector, working in the private economy, in the capitalistic economy. And then there's a whole other group that's getting much larger, and that's the public sector, the administrative state, those who work for the government, whether it's local, regional, state, or federal. And there are two different mindsets in the different groups. One is not better than the other. They're just different. But the bottom line for everything is that all the governments don't create revenue. They don't generate income. They don't make earnings. That's not their function, and they're not set up to do it, and they don't know how to do it. All earnings, all income, all taxes come from the private sector, from you and me and every other tax-paying citizen out there. And of course, everybody will say, well, government employees pay taxes. Yes, they do. They're in the same boat we are, but they're also facilitating an entity that is overtaxing because it's overspending. So the issue here is that government doesn't generate income. Government takes income. And that concept is paramount to the whole discussion of capitalism, freedom, liberty, independence, and basically the entire structure of our nation as originally formatted. So when we talk about the solutions the government has given us, they actually haven't given us any solutions. The Federal Reserve had decided, along with the Treasury and the administrative state, in this case it was when Obama was still president that it started, they decided that they needed to keep spending money. They couldn't sell our Treasury bonds on the open market because other nations didn't want to buy them, pretty much. And so they did something that is probably one of the strangest events I've ever seen from an economics standpoint. They decided they would just print all the money they wanted. They called it quantitative easing. And that was when Bernanke was the chairman of the Fed Reserve. And then Janet Yellen followed him, and she continued to do it. And Jay Powell followed them, and he continues to do it. But they printed $8 trillion United States dollars. Now, you would think, okay, so they just printed a bunch of dollars. It doesn't mean anything. Well, actually, it means everything. And this is one of the basic tenets of economics, particularly what I would say is the best form of economics, which is the Austrian school of economics, not the Keynesian school. But the Austrian school says, well, if you print more of something, if you make more of something, its value declines. Well, that's exactly what happened to the United States dollar. And as the Fed and Treasury Department colluded to create this what's called QE, or quantitative easing, they put us into debt because the counterbalance to the printed dollar is the United States Treasury bond, And those dollars were used to buy the Treasury bonds. And I know this is getting a little too much in the weeds, so just bear with me for a second here. But when by printing the bonds, those bonds are debt. Every bond printed and created, sold out in the market or sold to its own self, which is what happened here, is debt on the shoulders of not only our generation, but several future generations. And that debt is crushing right now. It's gone up by that $8 trillion that I mentioned earlier.
Well, and Jay, so, just on that point, it's really immoral to take on this debt for ourselves, actually, but to put this debt onto the next generations who never voted on it, never got any benefit from it whatsoever. It's really immoral to do that.
Yeah, that's a great argument against it, and it's probably the pivotal argument against that whole thing. But you had asked me why the Biden Harris, Biden Kamala, what did you call it?
The Obidenomala. I had to practice that. The Obidenomala economy.
Okay. Why it left people behind. And I'm going kind of into the weeds here. But here's the fact of the matter. It is truly immoral, unethical, unconstitutional, inappropriate, against everything that we stand for when you think about the net effect of this whole thing. And that is that we're being harmed in two ways. We have this massive debt placed on us, and then because of all this printing of the United States dollar under quantitative easing, the value of every dollar that we individuals own in our savings account and in our investments has declined in value. It doesn't have the purchasing power that it used to have. So now, on a daily basis, when I go out and I buy a tank of gas, I spend twice the amount of money for that same amount of gasoline. Well, that I don't have infinite resources like the government does. I have a X amount of income and X amount of savings, and you know they go up slowly because I'm careful with my money, but they don't go up like tremendously like we've been seeing. So I have to take more of those dollars to buy the same commodity that I used to buy for half the dollars, let's say. And that's one way that the federal government has impacted each and every individual.
Well, and it's really a silent, or not so silent, because people are realizing it, but it is a kind of a silent form of theft is what inflation is.
Absolutely. That's a good analogy. It is, and it's very destructive, corrosive, silent, deadly. United States dollar, when the Fed was formed in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson, its prime mandate was protect the value of the United States dollar. Now, you'd say, well, that doesn't really matter, does it? Well, it makes all the difference in the world, particularly if you realize that over the 100 years or so that the Fed's been around, the dollar's declined in value by over 95%. Now, I would say that's not a very good job.
Not at all. Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. But I find it interesting. I think I knew this, but I hadn't connected that dot, that 1913, that's when we got all these progressive things happening, and those progressive things were actually regressive. But that income tax was put into place. That's where I think maybe 1914, and then also where we changed the elections for our U.S. senators from the states to a popular vote. All those things put in place, I think, where we've gotten to where we are right now, Jay Davidson.
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson was probably one of the most progressive left-wing communists, if you want to call it back then, presidents we've ever had. And he did tremendous damage to our nation. In all the things that you've mentioned happened under his watch, and it happened with malice aforethought, and that's what Trump or any other true Republican, and I'm, you know, that's controversial because I don't know if Trump is a Republican or not. Maybe he is, but the fact is that he's so much better than anybody else that's running. I mean, Kamala and Klutz or whatever his name is.
Waltz?
yeah, that one.
Freudian slip there, huh?
yeah, I think so. Maybe I missed that one. Yeah. You know, they're avowed communists. I mean, red pant commies. I mean,
yeah,
and,
I know.
And, you know, they're running for the most important office in the world. It's just mind-boggling. So, I don't know. I think Trump, you know, from a business perspective, the 4 years that he was in were nirvana. It was incredibly good. And I know he has all these faults and so on and so forth, but I'm not... My vote isn't a Valentine. It's a vote. Just get somebody in there that basically is going to say, get the government out of my face. I'm sick and tired of being regulated to death and taxed to death. And I think every American citizen is getting to that point.
Jay Davidson, that is one of the best quotes I've ever heard, is my vote isn't a Valentine. Did you make that up yourself?
No, that was a meme that I saw.
I love
that. Great?
I absolutely love that. And when everyday business, not the crony business that we see where government, big government and big business get into bed with each other, but when we have real business, everyday entrepreneurs and business people thriving and prospering, it's a great economy because at the time with Donald Trump, the reports were before the whole COVID debacle that unemployment was at almost record lows for blacks, Hispanics, women. It was a very prosperous time, and we can reclaim that. But this is a very important election to do so.
Yeah, they all are. And we've been remiss, we, the voting public, in allowing politicians to get in and then not monitoring their activity. And when they start spending so much, we've been remiss in not removing them immediately. And that is the one place where I agree we do have an element of democracy, and I've written extensively about that. But and that's the one element where we can remove the politician and direct the politician and scare the other ones into following what we say, which is what they should be doing in the first place. They're not there to run the government. They're not there to run my life. They're there to keep my government under control. And that is the whole intent of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, is to control the government, not to control us. We have laws that will establish and the controls that are necessary between our interactions. But I don't need the federal government telling me what to do or not do.
And that's why we've got to get this whole thing reined back in so that government becomes smaller and the individual becomes bigger. We're going to continue the discussion with Jay Davidson here, but we get to do this because of our great sponsors like First American State Bank. Another great sponsor is Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
It's finally Friday. I'm free again. I got my motor.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And be sure and check out the Center for American Values, located down in Pueblo, Colorado. They're doing such great work. They're nonpartisan. They're non-political. They're just wanting to make sure that we pass on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism and the stories of our Medal of Honor recipients. So check out that website. That is AmericanValueCenter.org. On the line with me is Jay Davidson. He is the CEO, founder of First American State Bank, a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. And Jay Davidson, I always learn so much, but I just have to one more time say my vote isn't a Valentine, as people are thinking about who they're going to vote for. That is really something important to remember, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
You bet. Yeah, I mean, we all can list a number of Trump's faults, and unfortunately, my wife can list a whole bunch of my faults, so I guess I'm in the same boat, or as Jesus Christ said, he was without sin cast the first stone.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not trying to make light of his failings, and there are many, but when it comes right down to this election is binary. It's either Kamala or it's Trump. And I can complain all I want about Trump, but the bottom line is that just from a strict economic standpoint, his 4 years were like heaven for every business person out there, and then therefore for every employee out there.
People,
and it's not that way now.
No. There were reports that the everyday family in America had $6,000 more dollars in their pocket, real dollars in their pocket, just because of reducing rules and regulations and taxes. Real money in their pocket. And now they take a look at it. They look at inflation, higher taxes, more difficult for businesses to survive, and they have less money in their pocket. So just from that, you need to compare that. And I know that you met her, Maggie Thatcher. She said that you cannot have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the basis of all freedom is that the concept of economic freedom. And it sounds like, well, you're just a greedy capitalist, you're a banker or whatever. Well, actually, it's more than that, because the basic premise of freedom and liberty is the right to ownership of property. And the first property that you own as an individual is your life. Think about that. And you have every right to protect that. So if a government or some other entity, a warlord or a tyrant or a dictator, decides to take your life, he's robbing you, he's stealing from you the most important thing that you have. But that right to ownership of property extends to things, other things than just your body or your mind or your life. It extends to the property that you own. And it could be your home, your car, your savings account, et cetera. And like I said earlier, all government revenue comes from taking. It comes from taking property away from the individual. And they call it taxation or fines or whatever, but it derives from taking. Now, everybody will argue, well, you get a value from the government. And I said, okay. All right, what is that value? Is it, you know, is it that the top 1% of the wage earners pay over 50% of all taxes? Is that fair? Yeah, and then the left wants to make it even more progressive than it is right now. The bottom 50% of citizens don't pay any taxes. They get net subsidies from the government. Is that fair? So what is the value that the government brings to us? And I think we need to question that much more closely than we did before, because, again, government takes, but free enterprise creates. And that's the difference. And that's where the individual in the private sector who is gainfully employed, working for an employer, does so of his own free will. And you mentioned earlier price gouging. And I say, well, here's another example of the government taking over. Now, it sounds like a good thing. Now, you know, some pharmaceutical companies charging you too much for your diabetes medication, and so you want relief. Well, I get that. But what's the downside to it? Or as the Turkovilles said, what is seen and what is unseen? Well, the downside is that the government starts to take more and more control all the time. And here we are left in 2024. We're looking at a basic communist takeover of our nation through bureaucracy, through the administrative state. So people need, I think, to wake up to the fact that this is a slow death. It doesn't have to be, and we can change it, but we've got to get involved in this. So back to price gouging. Well, okay, Kamala wants to she wants to do price controls. Basically, that's what that is. Well, does that allow free trade? No. That's the outside coercion in the definition of free trade. And free trade is the simplest definition in the world and the most profound. A willing buyer and a willing seller making a decision without outside coercion. The outside coercion is almost inevitably the federal government and the state government and the local government. And I don't, you know, I can live with that to a limit, but my limit's reached. Being in a highly regulated industry like I am banking, I'm over the top. You ask a doctor, ask somebody in the energy business, ask any other business owner out there. He or she will tell you the same thing. It's at the end point here.
Well, it is. And they talk about price gouging and try to make it look like it is the greedy business person, the greedy grocery store that is increasing prices to hurt the consumer. I mean, that's the implication. But ultimately, I think the greediest of all is this administrative state, higher and higher taxes. And it's really, I think we should call it tax gouging. And just look at the property taxes in Colorado. And we're recording this while the Colorado State Legislature is in session to supposedly do something about property taxes. And it seems like what they're trying to do is to put some kind of a cap in. I think we really need cuts on this. But we saw such an increase in property taxes here in Colorado, and many of these special districts and municipalities and counties and the state government have been more than happy to take that huge increase, they can take it by force, which is the real problem. So tax gouging is the real problem, Jay Davidson.
Yeah, I think that's a good term. It is tax gouging. And, you know, everybody looks at one half of the equation. Oh, there's this poor, helpless individual on the street. I need to help him. Well, I get that. I mean, I'm charitable. I probably spend more money on charity than a lot of people do, because I believe in it. And my wife does, and my family does, and my bank does. But the fact is that, okay, the other half of the equation, if I'm going to give that guy money, what's he going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Johnson's decision in Denver is diametrically opposed to Kaufman's decision in Aurora. And honestly, Kaufman is more right on. And you know, Mike went, he a former Marine.
Mike Kaufman.
Kaufman dressed up like a bum and for 2 weeks lived in the camps. No other politician that I know of has ever done that. And if anybody knows what the mindset is, what the problems are, what the issues are, it's Mike Kaufman. And his solution is not to hand over a whole bunch of free housing to these people like Mike Johnson, but Johnson is doing in Denver or any other big Democrat city. His answer is like step 13. Bob Cote said, you know, I'll give you a hand up, but not a hand out. If you want something, you got to work for it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant guy.
There is such dignity in work. And one of the most compassionate things, I think, Jay Davidson, and I know that you and your family and your bank really do care about many great charities out there. And the thing about a charity, supporting a charity, is it's not force. When government comes in and says that they're going to do a program, for example, remember when Hickenlooper said that he was going to stop homelessness in Denver when he was mayor of Denver. And now it's a $500 million plus industry. And the reason is because there's now a lot of people making big bank on the tragedy of homelessness. And they're not going to solve this problem as long as they're making so much money off of it, Jay Davidson.
Yeah, it goes back to just about every frankly, Democrat initiative, starting with Woodrow Wilson and going on through LBJ and his war on poverty and then the war on drugs and so on and so forth. And all these wars, all they do is they create entities, administrative state entities, bureaucratic entities that live in perpetuity and that absorb more and more of our tax dollars. Remember, government doesn't make money. It takes money. And so if you're funding a whole bureaucracy to, you know, do the war on homelessness, well, guess where that money's going? You're paying for it. Every one of us that is paying a tax is paying for this. And then they keep adding on and adding on and adding on. If you added all the taxes together that you as an individual pay and all the the registration fees that you pay, you'd be shocked at how much of your income goes to state, local, and federal government.
And we need to roll that back. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to become engaged citizens and to show up. It's complicated. It takes time. But if each of us chooses one thing, then we are going to make a big difference in what's going on in our country. So, Jay Davidson, it's always so fascinating. He is the founder and co-founder of First American State Bank. Let me get that right. Co-founder and CEO of First American State Bank. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Actually, I'm just a servant of the federal government and the Federal Reserve. That's my old reason for living. The final thought, folks, Kim's right. I mean, the power of an individual acting based on knowledge, based on a moral framework, is immense. That very power is the same power that founded our nation. And we need to re-found our nation. Forgive my...
I love that.
Hurting grammar, but we need to go back and say what works and what doesn't work. And we stop being shy about the liberals calling you they're not liberals. I'm sorry. That's a misnomer. You and I are liberals. Every person that believes in liberty and freedom are the true liberals. The left is not. They believe in control, and they believe in control through government. So we need, the stop point is that we need to demand that our politicians stop the spending, stop the taxation, and reduce regulation. That's it. That's all you have to demand. Like Kim says, get involved in one aspect of it. You can make a big difference. Just know the facts and start working toward your goal of enlightening these politicians, because they have got to stop spending us into debt.
And now is the time. And so that's why we do the show, is to help help all of you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage with your friends and your family, your colleagues, about these important issues. Jay Davidson, First American State Bank, thank you. I so greatly appreciate you.
Thank you, Kim. Great work, and appreciate being part of your life there. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Jay Davidson. And as I know each and every one of my sponsors personally, I highly recommend them. Another one of those is John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Now that school's back in, Mom and Dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made, and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It's Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we've had quite the interesting show today from live radio. Is just, it can certainly be super interesting. And it was again today because Joe was not able to get to the studio as he was coming in to make everything happen. Thank you to Amanda for stepping forward and being able to help us out remotely. I'm hoping that we're going to get Danielle Jarinski on. She is Aurora City Councilwoman, and she has, I just love the fact that she's out there calling these things like it is. And this Democrat governor, Jared Polis of Colorado, this Democrat mayor of Denver, what is happening in our metro area, what is happening with these gangs in Aurora, should be laid at their feet because of their policies. And what is happening now is people are paying attention. I cannot tell you how many people have reached out after they have seen that video of these Venezuelan gangs in an apartment complex going in with weapons. And the story, it's reported that one of them is a scope rifle. And one has to ask, how did they get these firearms? And so that is the big question. And, oh, I am so pleased we've got Danielle Jarinski on the line. She's Aurora City Councilwoman. Danielle, thank you for making this happen.
Thanks for having me.
And you've been quoted in national news regarding these Venezuelan gangs. We have just a few minutes. What should people know about these Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes in Aurora? And are you coming together with other municipalities to address this problem?
Well, Kim, up until I was able to expose this and get this video footage out the other day after I was able to move this family from the complex, everybody was pretty much in denial. So I'm not sure anything was being addressed. I do think that I've brought enough attention to this now to force the issue, and somebody is going to have to do something. But I don't know if you saw, even after the videos came out, our own lovely governor came out and issued a statement that this is purely a feature of my imagination. So I don't know, Kim.
I saw that. So you were the one that released this, and I actually saw it on Fox National. And I've had people call me from throughout the country. And they're like, is this going on? I said, it is really bad here. And it is because of the terrible policies of Jared Polis and Denver Mayor Mike Johnston. And so you were the one that this video came to you then, huh?
Well, it was shown to me, and it was set up Fox 31 to release it because it was a reporter at Fox 31 who actually helped me connect with the Romeros. But, you know, the fact that this is being denied, the fact that this is being downplayed, again, I mean, this is real. This isn't, I saw a comment on social media that this, I generated this video on my own using AI. I mean, this is insane. This is real. This is a result of failed policies at the southern border, failed policies in the state of Colorado, and failed policies in the city of Denver. And now Aurora and the other surrounding cities of Denver are paying for it as well.
Well, and Aurora Councilwoman Danielle Jurinski, what is happening with your fellow council members and mayor there in Aurora to address this problem?
You know, some of my council members have been supporting me this whole time, and they knew that I couldn't sit on this anymore, and I was going to have to expose this because I couldn't get anybody to listen to me, and I couldn't get anybody to tell the truth about what was going on, even though everybody knew what was going on. After the video footage was released a couple of days ago, Mayor Mike Kaufman, he has had to come out and admit to this gang problem and admit that this is real. So, again, now that this has been exposed, now that this has come out, I do believe that it is going to force the hand of action here. But as of right now, I still don't truly know what the plan is.
Well, yesterday, I had people coming to me. I was working at the studio, and people are paying attention. They're just incredulous because they realize this is, apparently there was a robbery at one of the big box stores not far from where the studio is. And the thought is it was a Venezuelan gang. So people, once they realize that this safety that they have taken for granted is really under assault, and you shedding light on this, a little bit of truth goes a long way, Danielle Jurinski.
I agree, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes people do get complacent, and they don't realize, or they don't necessarily care what's going on somewhere else until it impacts them. And my stance is, I'm not going to let this continue. I'm not going to let this spread and impact other folks. I'm going to try and help the folks that are living in this situation and try to stop this from happening anywhere else or spreading any further. And that is the reason I am bringing such ferocious attention to this at the way that I am.
Well, good for you. And so what happened with this family? Were they trying to rob them, or why did they break into their apartment?
Well, so I don't know if you saw the media coverage. They had installed four deadbolts on their door, and they had a door brace. Cindy Romero says that how they were able to survive is that they were giving these gang members food and some money and some clothes and other things, and that's how they survived in this situation. So their apartment was never actually broken into. Again, they had four deadbolts on their door and a door brace, but they lived through the gunshots, the shootouts. When I moved them out, both of their cars are riddled with bullet holes. None of this is made up. None of this is made up, and this is terrifying. And right now, you know, people want to play politics with this situation. You're playing politics with human lives.
Well, definitely. And I am very concerned that these dangerous illegal immigrants have been embedded throughout our neighborhoods, throughout our country. We've got a minute left. Danielle Jarinski, thank you for making this happen. Thank you for your courage. How would you like to button this up?
You know, just thank you. Thank you for all the support that has been pouring out over this. And I am not going to let this go. I want resolve. I want action. I want the people of Aurora, the state of Colorado, and the United States of America to be safe and live freely.
Well, and that is what our elected representatives are supposed to do. That is the proper role of government. Danielle Jarinski, you are courageous, and I so appreciate it. And so let's stay in touch on this, because Colorado, Denver, we are at the tip of the spear on all this, and we need to continue to shed light on that. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, my friends, our quote for the end of the show, I went to Milton Friedman, and he said, a society that puts equality before freedom will get neither. A society that puts freedom before equality will get a high degree of both. And so as we are looking at this election, let's make sure that we're putting freedom, or liberty, the responsible exercise of freedom, at the top of our list with these candidates. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.